Please give your attention now to the reading of God's holy word. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. May God add his blessings to the reading of God's holy word. Well, this psalm calls the people of God to rejoice in him. It's a psalm that calls us to rejoice for him. It starts with a call to praise. I hope you noticed that in the first 3 verses. But then it gives you several reasons for rejoicing. It doesn't just leave you with a declaration to rejoice in the Lord. It tells you why. It informs you why. And then finally, at the end of the psalm, because of those reasons, we are called to have hope in God. It's a wonderful way it wraps that call for hope and the call for rejoicing with reasons for those things. The first 3 verses, as I mentioned, form a call to worship. Listen to it. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. This calls the righteous to rejoice in their Lord, as you saw. But how can any of us be called righteous? Well, as we saw in Psalm 32, as Pastor Bruce explained, it is through the righteousness that comes through Christ alone, not our own good works. It's because of Christ's righteousness. And so we have to have that understanding. This is a call to those who have faith in the Lord and so are called righteous for it. And here the righteous are called to praise the Lord with song and music. And this is where you might be a bit perplexed by our church's practice, as we are called to employ the harp and a 10-stringed instrument. And we sing here, of course, psalms a cappella. That word means in the manner of the church. We sing a cappella without instruments. So the question should be asked, are we disobedient to the scripture here? Well, no, I don't believe we are disobedient, because this psalm was written during the time of animal sacrifices in a temple system, a system that foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ's own sacrifice as the Lamb of God. For instance, in Psalm 20, we would have the same problem, wouldn't we? Because we sing of burnt offerings. Yet none of us wonder why we don't bring animals here and sacrifice them as well. When we sing those psalms, we understand that Jesus Christ was sacrificed for us. And so we don't bring those sacrifices. Instruments, too, were connected with that temple system. Levites, in particular the Levites, played the instruments when the sacrifices began, and they stopped when the sacrifice ended. And so the instruments here, especially connected with this idea of an imputed righteousness, is beautiful, because these instruments are meant to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ and His once-for-all sacrifices. And as Christ has been crucified, we don't need these instruments, just as we don't need bulls and goats and an altar. And the New Testament does something really wonderful here. It teaches that the human heart has taken the place of these instruments. And that's really wonderful for a man like myself who has no aptitude for playing an instrument. It would be an awful thing if you asked me to play the harp. In Ephesians 5:19, Paul says that when we sing psalms after the resurrection of Christ, we make melody in our heart to the Lord, not with a 10-stringed instrument, because that is striking in the Greek, because the English word melody there is solo, a word that means or pictures the striking of harp strings. And so it's beautiful that our hearts are the true embodiment of these stringed instruments. And as I asked of myself, how many of you here are competent to play the harp? I know we have some gifted musical folks here, but only a few of us maybe can play the harp. And so could you fulfill the call of the psalm if you couldn't play? So isn't it better that it's your heart strings the Lord is truly after? And so when I see instruments in a psalm, I am reminded to make my heart ring out to the Lord. And you should too. So our call to praise and rejoicing here in this call to worship is done in light of Christ's sacrifice and His righteousness given to us, pictured in the temple sacrifice. Now the rest of the psalm gives us four other reasons to rejoice, and we will consider them much really briefly. The second reason for rejoicing is because the Lord loves righteousness and justice. This is verses 4 and 5. We read that the word of the Lord is right. All His work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. You see, you serve a holy God, people of God. We rejoice that we can trust Him. We rejoice that He is good. We never worry. We don't go through our days worrying that He is capricious, that He would ever be found a liar. He's not like the gods of the so-called gods of the pagans, in other words, the ones who are capricious, who can change their mind. He is trustworthy. So we rejoice in the psalm that we can trust Him, and you can trust His word because it proceeds from His character. So we rejoice in that as well. And what of righteousness? His love of righteousness should actually frighten us if we are outside of Christ, because we are not righteous. And so we rejoice here because of what we saw in Psalm 32, that we can possess that alien righteousness. And He loves the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, as it is seen in us. And we are grateful then, and we are grateful to the Lord Jesus in this psalm, because the Lord loves righteousness and justice. The third reason to rejoice is found in verses 6 through 9. The world was created by Him. And children, isn't it an amazing thing to consider the creation? Isn't it an amazing sight to behold? Each year, it seems, we learn more and more about the creation. We see magnificent pictures through the Hubble telescope. We learn more things about the exquisite design God has worked into all living beings on earth. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, are you not? And who did that? God did that. And so the world is commanded to stand in awe of Him in verse 8. The entire cosmos comes about through the word of His power in verse 9. The mighty galaxies and the intricacy that is our body all came through a word from God. That is something that we must stand in awe of. It shows the power of the Almighty. And Christian, Colossians reveals that it was our Savior, Jesus Christ, who God used to create. All things were created through Him and for Him. So we rejoice in this psalm that the power of the Almighty is in the hands of our Savior. He who saved us is also our Creator. So let the world stand in awe of Jesus Christ. Another reason to rejoice. Fourth, we are called to rejoice in verses 10 through 15 because all the nations are subservient to our God. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. People, we must be comforted by this, because many of the great nations of this world are hostile to Jesus Christ and His church. Yet it is the Lord's counsel that will stand forever. Jesus Christ's counsel is that He will build His church. That counsel will stand in defiance of any nation that goes up against the Lord and His people. And for thousands of years, nations have gone up against our Jesus Christ and have perished. Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, Romans, the Soviet Union. And so it will be with any nation today. China, Iran, Saudi Arabia, North Korea, any nation that is hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ and His church will surely perish, but the Lord's counsel will stand. But the nation that covenants to be God's, Jesus says, is the one who will be blessed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So people of God, we are called to rejoice because Jesus has been crowned by the Father as Messiah, the Prince, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we praise Him that He has dominion over the nations. The next reason, fifth, we see in verses 16 to 19 that the might of men or nations cannot save, but only the arm of the Lord. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. People of God, we are weak. You have to embrace that. You have to embrace that fact. And the sooner you do, the sooner you will see that your strength comes from God. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, those who have faith in Him, in verse 18. And that is where our comfort is, that God Almighty, the maker of heavens and earth, ruler over the nations, watches over you who fear Him. Isn't that a marvelous thought? He watches over those. We are under His care and protection. So we are called to rejoice and praise that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is the source of our security and our strength. And so the psalm concludes in verses 20 to 22 with a call to put our hope in Him and to rejoice if we trust in Him. Listen to what it says here. It says, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You." And given those reasons for rejoicing, how can you not hope in this God? How can you not hope in this Lord Jesus Christ, the One who loves righteousness and truth, the One that we stand in awe of because the cosmos were created by Him, by the word of His power, the One who watches over us who have faith in defiance of nations that would crush us, the One who gives to us His own righteousness. Therefore, the psalmist concludes by saying, no matter what his circumstance, his hope is fixed on Jesus alone. So I hope and pray that our praise to God will be enriched by our meditation on Psalm 33. And that is our next singing, Psalm 33, Selection A. And let us rise and sing to the praise of God with this understanding, making melody in our hearts.